Matthew chapter 6. And let me just actually, how many be happy to be in the house of God tonight? Yes. It's a good place to be on a Wednesday night. Let's go to the book of Matthew here. That's the Gospels of Matthew, or at least the Gospel of Matthew. And we want to look at, let's talk about verse 28. Let's talk about verse 28. We'll start there. And we'll go to different scriptures. All right. I'm talking about tonight the rest of God, the rest and the peace of God. And we've been talking about, we're hitting on a couple of series. One is about no worries and anxieties. And Matthew 6:28 says, "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin." And the Amplified, it says, "Take no anxious thought." Take no anxious thought. And we talked about anxiety and what does that do. You know, and I will say, you know, you have to think on stuff. You got to consider different things for natural to plan. But there's a time where you cross a line where you become anxious and that takes over your life. And you need to know when that is a place where you have to come back to the point where you're balanced again in the things of God. And so that's what we're talking about. And the idea I want to get across to you today or this evening is that your mind is your mind. So take no thought. And we're talking about thoughts. And if we're going to have the peace of God, we're going to have to deal with our mind. So your mind is your mind. Everybody say, my mind. It's my mind. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for your word. We thank you that your word is spirit, it's life. And so we reverence the word today. And we thank you, wonderful Holy Spirit, that you are our teacher. And we are asking for your teaching, ministry of teaching of the word of God to make us understand what the Spirit of God, what the Holy Spirit, or at least what the Father is saying to us regarding our situations, as different situations that are before you today around this house. We thank you as we lift up our hearts to you and as we look to you for help. We pray that, and we know that help is from the Lord, and so we thank you that this word will change our hearts and change our minds, and we look to you for everything. We give you praise in advance. How our minds and hearts will change. In Jesus' name, amen. As an introduction, I want to say the devil can't make you think about things that you don't want to think about. Sometimes people think that, you know, the devil will come and he'll just take a hold of you and he just makes you do things. So the devil has no authority to come and strike you on the head, attack you, and make you think about scary things, bad things that you don't want to care and think about. He can't force you to do anything, in fact. You, as a believer, have authority over him and over the thoughts that you have. And you can either yield to God's thoughts or you can yield to the devil and his thoughts, what he wants you to think on. Your mind is yours to possess. You can think any way you want to, and you have to understand that everything that comes to your mind is not always your thoughts. And they can either make you angry, mad, you know, hurtful. They can make you feel low and make you feel a different thing. So your mind really is a gateway to your spirit, and what goes into your mind becomes a part of your spirit. That's how meditation works. And you can, you know, when you meditate, actually you speak so that you hear yourself speak, and that goes into your heart. Words form pictures, and it gets imprinted on your heart, and that's how it gets into. So the more you speak about God's word, the more it becomes implanted in you. That's why the Bible speaks a lot about meditation on the word. That's why God told Joshua to meditate on his word day and night. That means to do it all the time. So your mind is your mind. And after you're born again, you have something to do with the condition of your mind. Because God doesn't want you to go on in this new life with just having the same old thought patterns. Because up until you got saved, maybe you're 27 or 16 or 68, you had a certain thought pattern that really is involved more or less the natural or the world or the devil. And you're going to have to change that. And it's possible to change your mind and to think like God thinks. Otherwise, God wouldn't tell you to do this if it's not possible. So Romans 12:2 gives us a note that you need to start doing something with your mind when it comes to worries, anxieties, and fears. Because your mind can play, you know, somebody said the devil can use your mind as a playground. That's true in some sense, but then again, you can use God. God can use your mind as well as his own garden and production. So I'm reading the King James, Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing," not removing, renewing of the mind. And that word renewing of the mind speaks of, upholstering. You know, you have that idea of when you change things, you know, if you got an old couch or something, you just take something and you make, I don't know if anybody was into upholstering and or renewing. I used to renew furniture, believe it or not. That was a hobby of mine. I used to go around to different auctions, and I'd buy an old thing that, you know, that nobody wanted, and I restore it back to health and make it look like it's brand new again. That's a skill I had, and that's something I wanted to do for my pastime. So, in fact, I might even go back to business one of these days. So the devil says, or at least God says in his word here, do not be conformed to this world. There's a certain thinking that the devil has. You know, if you think like the world thinks about God, you need to renew your mind. If you think about the devil and what he can do to you like the rest of the world does, then you need to renew your mind. You know, those are important things to think about. But be a transformed. So God doesn't want us to have a worldly mind, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So if you can't study God's word and renew your mind, it's hard for someone to go get into the will of God by thinking worldly. When I mean worldly, I mean just natural, something that's not, centered in God. And so this is what the word, as a child of God, we should have a different view of things. Jesus tells us, do not take anxious thoughts. So as a child of God, we should have a different view of the world, about our lives. You have more an advantage, and if you don't take advantage of it, you won't get advantage. So the Bible teaches us how to see things from his heavenly perspective than our earthly perspective. The enemy can bombard your mind with fears and destruction, but your mind is your mind. Ephesians 4:23, the King James says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That means have a new attitude, a fresh attitude. Have a fresh mental attitude, not a stinking attitude, not a failure mentality, not a defeated attitude, but an overcoming mentality. God wants us to have an overcoming mentality. And then the devil, you know, he tries to bring thoughts to you, fear, and worry, and that's something that's going to, you know, let me just say this, and I've heard other people, pastors say this, and ministers that have been around for a long, long time, 50, 60, 70 years, they said, this is one of the hardest things a Christian can learn, what I'm teaching right now. Don't try this at home. No. So you can do this anytime. So this is the hardest thing that you could ever learn, is learning to control your mind, learn to possess your own soul. Because sometimes whatever you think, if you think on long enough of something, then you begin to act that out. If you think about thoughts that come to your mind, you have to examine it in light of what God's word. Does God want you to act on that, or Is that the devil talking to you? Is that your flesh talking to you? Like, you have to look at it from that perspective and learn how to act, not react. And so, Ephesians 4:23, I'm reading the common English, says, instead, renew your thinking of your mind by the Spirit. So we have to apply both the Word of God and this, with the Spirit's help, to help us renew our mind. Like, your Holy Spirit is your helper, so He's going to help you. You know, I don't know, we talked about anxiety. Anxiety, when you have a problem with anxiety, it becomes so heavy on your mind that you can't think anymore. I gave you some symptoms of what anxiety is all about last Sunday, or the Sunday before. If you need to go look at it, go to our website and see it on our website. I don't think it's on our YouTube or Facebook, but it's on our website. Go to our website and look at it. I know when I've suffered from anxiety, it's like I can't control my mind. As you cross over to a place where you've had it. You kind of blew some pistons or something. You know, you can't. So God, you know, the devil wants you to be at a place at a disadvantage where you can't control your thinking. And that's what anxiety does. It fills you so much with negativity, you can't control this. And then you come to a place where, you know, you feel that you can't control it. So he tells you can, now you're losing your mind. And so I've had over the years, people that I've ministered to and talked to over the years, and they say things like that. You know, the devil's attacking my mind. The devil's attacking my mind. The devil's attacking my mind. I can't control my mind. You know? And so it's because they won't see what I'm trying to teach you here according to the Word of God. You have control over your mind, no matter how you feel. It has nothing to do with how you feel. I've had an attack. I've cast devils out, and I can feel attack, like almost like a physical attack on my person, and I can just sense the oppression. That's the enemy attacking you, and if you just give into that, you're going to go right into that. But you don't have to. I'm trying to tell you, you don't have to, even if you felt that way. Just because you feel that way doesn't mean he's got a hold of you. And so this is the thing about that people walk by feelings. If you don't walk by faith, you're going to walk by feelings, and you're going to fall into a trap. And you don't want to do that. Ephesians 4:23, the Amplified says, be continually renewed. So this is something that you're going to do regularly. If you're going to possess your mind, you're going to have to do something every day. You're going to have to renew your mind every single day, just like you comb your hair every day. Just like you brush your teeth every day. No one's going to come here and brush your teeth. The angels of God are not going to help. They're around you. They're not going to come and brush your teeth. You have to take a shower. You have to refresh yourself regularly. And that's how it is with renewing your mind. You're going to have to do it regularly. It's a discipline. You're going to have to mentally tell yourself every day, today I'm going to possess my mind. I'm going to think on what I want to think about. So anything that comes to your mind, you have authority to exercise your rights about what you allow in your mind. So since we've been born again, Paul is talking about here in Philippians 4:12, he talks about be renewed in your mind, verse 2. Don't think like the world thinks. So after you're born again, you have two responsibilities at least. Two things naturally, and that is to control our thinking and control our flesh. When I say control our flesh, I mean, you know, your impulses, your desires. That's your, you know, like people always think about, you know, what kind of diet can I get onto now? The diet you need to get on is God's diet. Mm-hmm. That's right. I've talked to a lot of people that, you know, that are close to me that are actually on different diets. They try all kinds of stuff. But the only diet I know works best is God's diet. You know? So it's important in your mind to see what God says about your mind. So you raise your new life, so you must control your mind. If you don't control your mind, somebody else will take it. And if you don't control your body, your appetite of your body, somebody else will come along, like the devil will come along and affect your impulses. And how many people know that because you're born again doesn't mean you're free to do whatever you want, or you just sit around and rest for the rest of your life? No, you got work to do. The devil will come by And if you're not ready, he'll take authority over you, even if you speak in tongues. You can speak in tongues all you want, but if you don't obey the word, he's gonna rough over you. And he's gonna make you worry all the time. So you have that important thing that's to feed your spirit, control your mind, and control your appetites, control your body. The Bible says, you know, that you present your body to the Lord. That means you're not going to let your body control what you smoke, how much pizza you eat, how much television you watch. Except, you know, and when hockey playoffs comes, then you can do whatever you want. No, you have to be able to control yourself all the time. Right? How many of you have your iPhone or your phone? It tells you how many hours you've been spending on this thing. Let's go around and ask everyone how much they've been spending on this and talk about how much Bible time you've had. Huh? If we spend as much time, I heard kids, you know, kids, they go on these things, you know, they can watch Netflix over and over different series, and they watch like 28 parts of one series. Like they binge for one weekend. I said, no, if you did this with God's word, you'd be a champion. In no time you'd be healed. Like, why can't you do this with God's word? No, I got no time. No. Now I tell you this, over the years, no lie about it, I listen to Brother Hagin continually every single day. There hadn't been a day gone by where I listened to Brother Hagin regularly over the years. This was 30 years gone by. In fact, when I went to preach at different churches, they said, you sound just like exactly like Brother Hagin. Well, he's my father. That's the only guy I follow all those years. They said, if I close my eyes and I listen to you, I see Brother Hagin. Because, you know, whatever he teaches, it came on me. I made a decision that I'm going to follow him. And so I renewed myself in the fact, exercising myself, that this is what I'm going to do. And find out how he did it. If he did it, I can do it. So, you know, we've been raised to a new life. You're born again. Now you have new life in you. And so look at over here. Look at. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 15. I'm reading the New Living Translation for all you new livers. So you have, let's go ahead and read verse 1. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 15, New Living Translation. We're going to talk about the peace of God and where you need to place your mind. If you want God's peace, you would have to do something with your mind. You know, some things don't come automatically. Just because you know something doesn't mean it's going to be yours. Just because you read, by his stripes I'm healed, doesn't automatically become, you can say that 25 times, doesn't mean it's going to be yours right then because you read that and you remember it. It only becomes a part of you when you begin to embrace it and exercise it and put it part of your life. Did you find the verse? Since you have been raised to a new life with Christ, that's a good start. We're raised in a new life. Notice that set your sights on the realities of heaven. That means your mind, where Christ sits in a place of honor at God's right hand. So this is, he's saying to us, think about who we are in Christ, what Christ raised us to a new life. Think about these things. Think about the things of heaven, not things on the earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ and God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you'll share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Now, after we repent, we can continue to read here. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world. But now the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature. So this is not something that happens automatically. Your new nature is not going to just come on you right away. You're going to have to be mindful of this, that who you are. Put on this new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. The object of getting to God's Word is to be like Jesus, right? In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters and lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be holy people He loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others, must forgive others. He didn't say it's an option. And if you don't forgive anybody, the devil will have havoc in you and come and attack you. He has every right to attack you if you go into his realm. The devil can't attack you if you don't go into his realm. But if you say, no, I don't care, I'm going to go get mad, I'm going to do this anyway. No, then if you get full of anxiousness, then whose fault is it? So, above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us together, all together in perfect harmony. Verse 15, let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. In other words, the peace of God should rule everything you do. You must begin to think about, you know, if I'm going to live this life, you know, if I'm going to live this life in peace, I'm going to have to follow everything God wants me to do. So peace, that peace is the object of my empire, the empire of my heart. That means it's going to rule everything. It's going to make sense to me. So if you don't follow God's word, and if you do all those things it says previously, and if you don't follow God's word, then you're not going to have peace in your heart. Like, how are you going to have peace if you're messing around in immorality? You can't have peace if you're gambling half the time and just buying tickets all the time. Where's your faith at? So you can't have peace if you're angry with people all the time. How are you going to be? You can't be tender-hearted if you're mad at people. He says to tender-hearted to everybody, just be sensitive to people. So I'm going to read this. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and be always thankful. The Colossians chapter 3:15, the Good News Bible says this. I like it because it's very clear. The peace that Christ gives is to guide you in the decisions you make. It is to this peace that God has called you together in one body and be thankful. So this is a guiding force. You know, if you're going to have peace, your decisions you're making has to be, the peace comes from the decisions you make. If you made a bad decision in the past and you hope no one finds out, it doesn't, you know, like you, it affects you a bit. You know? So now, it says here, Ephesians 3:20, New Living, says, now all glory to God who is able. Is God able to give you peace? He's able. Through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. So God will go beyond your thinking and he'll just supersede what you ask for. So your mind is yours to control. Now look at this 2 Corinthians 10:5. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. In other words, if your thinking doesn't match the Bible, it's not biblical to think on certain things. You shouldn't be thinking it. And bringing into captivity, in other words, and bringing into captivity every thought. If the devil can control you, then this shouldn't be working. If the devil has authority over your mind, then why did God tell you that you can take captive every thought? Every thought. Not just some of them, all of them. He says, I'm going to kill you. You're going to lose. You're going to get sick. You have cancer. You'll never make it. You're a loser, whatever. So no, you take that thought and you bring it down. But you don't bring it down with your own thinking. You bring it down with God's thinking. You say, no, you know what? I'll tell you something. That's not what God's word says. I don't believe that. Here's what I believe. You have to quote the scripture to yourself and say the opposite of what he told you over here. That's how you bring down the thought. You can't just say, oh, I'm just going to think positive. I'm going to be positive every day. How many people think that way every day, but they don't put back in their mind what God says? It takes some time. It takes work to do this. It doesn't happen automatically. It takes work to do it. Spirituality is not some kind of a picnic. It's spiritual warfare to fight thoughts. So you must cast them down. God's not going to do it for you. He's not going to send an angel to do it for you. He's not going to have anybody to do it for you except yourself, because your mind is your mind. You have the power to take authority over your own mind. So your mind is your mind. And it's your mind to control. The devil can't force you. You know, God's word, or the word of God, the Bible, scriptures, they contain God's thoughts. And his thoughts bring life to you. John 63 said, Jesus said, my words are life. So when you go to God's word, they're God's thoughts. And we have to think on God's thoughts. Think on the word about what he says about you. The enemy is trying to influence you into death, into destruction, into losing the battle. Worry and anxiety is of the devil, and it brings death. God wants us to have life abundantly. We can either think God's thoughts or the devil's thoughts. We have a choice, because he gave us our mind and he told us to renew it. Most people do not believe that thoughts contain or they have a spiritual origin. They're either coming from the devil or they're going to come from God. So you're going to have to learn to do something with it and evaluate those thoughts in light of the Word of God. Your mind is your mind. So you're not going crazy. You have to tell yourself that, you know. So you must speak God's word. You must not get into fear. You know, think about things that are going to make you afraid. So you have to replace negative thoughts with positive thoughts of God's word. So Matthew 6:25, Jesus said, take no anxious thought. So these anxious thoughts are not coming from God. They're coming from some other source, not from God. Anxiety is going to hurt people. God doesn't hurt people. Verse 25, therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or neither for your body what you shall put on. Is life more important than meat, than body for raiment or clothes? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather to barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? In other words, negative thoughts can't worry, and anxiety, thoughts of anxiety, can never add anything to you. They're useless. They're actually destructive to you by worrying. The things that you worry about, most of the time, is never going to happen. And you spend all that hour, all those energies, trying to, you know, just thinking about it and taking, you know, doing it yourself. We need God to help us with this. Like I said, the devil can't force you. You can't, you know, they don't produce anything, these things, except destruction. You are to reject evil thoughts. You have an enemy called the devil. He goes around trying to take advantage of you, insult you with this negative thought. He's trying to kill you. Sometimes he'll attack your self-worth. So our mind sometimes can get bombarded with attacks of our worth. And these thoughts come and say that God doesn't care about you. He doesn't even know you have that problem. When you prayed that prayer, he probably forgot about it. So So you have to go back to him again. If you think this way, then you always have to pray that same prayer again, which is unbelief. You have to, if you have to pray the same prayer over and over that you prayed about a certain thing, then it's that you're still in unbelief. You haven't learned to cast your care upon the Lord. It's impossible to be in faith and to suffer anxiety or to pray the prayer of casting your cares on the Lord. If you say, Lord, I'm going to give you this problem here about my health, about my child, or whatever it is, I'm just giving you this. And if you go around having to pray that prayer over and over and over, then you haven't done it the first time. You didn't do it well, or you didn't do it the proper way. So after you take your care to God and say, God, you take it. So what's the next phase? What you have to do when that thought comes, you say, no, I don't have it. God has it. You know, if you're thinking about anxious about certain things, it tells me that you still have it, or it tells God that you still have it. He doesn't have it. If God has it, then he's working on it while they're resting. It's impossible to be in faith and be anxious. You can't just be in anxious, oh, I'm afraid of this, afraid of that. And if you gave that to God, you have to act like it's so. Act like God's got it. It might not look well. In fact, when you do it, it might even get worse. I remember praying for, you know, just someone. I prayed for someone who had a devil. And, you know, I'm a rookie. I'm praying for someone. They had a devil. And they manifested in church, in the church service. And so I said, in the name of Jesus, when I said in the name of Jesus, they even got even louder. So before I could actually react to it, the Lord said to me, just call them out and don't even pay attention to it. And Jesus said to me, that's what happened to me when I cast devils out. They even got worse. They just foam up and they fall and on the floor. Don't pay attention to that. Just go on and act like it's so. So sometimes when you cast your care upon the Lord, nothing changes. So you're not going by what you see. You're going by what the Word says. If you're a pilot and you have to fly by instruments, you're looking at the instrument, not the air. You can't see the air. It's fog. It's dark. So the Word of God is like instrument. So you're trusting in the Word. So when you cast your care upon God, then you have to act like He's got it. So when the devil comes back to you with the same thought and nothing's changed for 5 years, then you say, hey, listen, I don't have it. And I'm not going to worry because Jesus said, don't worry about anything. Philippians 4:6 says, don't worry about anything. Nothing. And so you have to take that care to God and put it over. And I've heard, you know, different ones that I admire in the faith ministry for years. He said, I've seen people who got sick and spent time in institution because they wouldn't do what we're telling them. I've seen it, personally seen it. Over the year after year, people say, you know, I can't control my thinking. The devil's attacking me again. Could you please pray for me? Well, you could pray for them if they don't want to listen. And after you pray and after you take authority, but they have to go home and face the same devil that come visit to them. They have to do it on you. How many people know that you can lose things, spiritual things, like peace, if you don't know how to control it yourself? There's come a day in your life where you have to understand that the Bible works for pastor, it works for me. I don't have, you know, an advantage of it. We all have the Word of God. So, in fact, you know, if our self-worth is challenged and we're being attacked by it, we have to understand that our worth is in Christ. That God loves you so much that He'll take care of you and everything you care about. There's a scripture, I think it's Psalm 138, verse 8. God will perfect that which concerns me. I think that's what it is. In other words, anything that concerns me, anything that concerns my life, anything that would affect my life, God is going to perfect it. He's going to take care of what I'm concerned about in my heart. In fact, Philippians 4:6, First Peter 5:7, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. It says in the Amplified Classical Edition that God cares for you affectionately. He's affectionately caring for you, and he's watching over you watchfully. Your needs. We have to know that when we cast it on God, that he's going to take care of it. Now, nothing might not change in the natural. It's hard. That's why Brother Hagin told us this is one of the hardest things any Christian can do. This is one of the hardest areas that you're going to have to face all the rest of your life is learn to do this. Just when you think, I've got it all controlled. Oh, am I ever good at it? Then you come to a problem in your life where it really affects you in so many ways. Like some problems are easier to handle than other people. You understand what I'm saying? Some affect you a little bit more, stronger. Like if your loved one is going to be dying or something and you're praying for them and nothing appears to be changing, it's getting worse. Dozens of people always call me for different things. I seem to work outside the ministry more than I work inside the ministry at times. Because, you know, you're a minister, that people figure that you got an edge, you know, God can talk, you talk to God. Of course, we talk to God maybe more because we work in his office every day in that sense. We went to pray for someone who was dying, a cousin of mine who was dying the other day. Had a call from a family friend. He said, you know, Roma, we're going to be gathering together, you know, at the hospital outside. We're going to have a prayer meeting. Would you be part of that and come over and pray with us as well? I said, okay, I'll be there. I they had set this meeting up, and so I didn't realize that they were asking me to do it. So when I got there, okay, you're going to be praying. Me? I just came to be observant and just add my faith on there, you know. So I began to pray, and so the husband came and said, you know, ladies, listen, you know, this is what the doctor says. Here's what's wrong with her and all that. And they asked her, you know, if something goes wrong, do you want me to keep the plug in? First she said, you have to plug. If it's that way, then just pull the plug and let me go. Then the doctor asked her again, do we want to do this? We're going to have the operation tomorrow morning. And so should we keep the plug in? He said, no, keep the plug in. Change your mind. So I said to them, you know, I said, sometimes, you know, when people are going to be dying and God, they see heaven and they get a glimpse of it, they want to go there. So I said, you know, if she wants to die, then we're going to just let her go. And if she wants to go, it's a better place than here. It's like living in a garbage can compared to heaven over here. So I said, okay. We'll pray. I got inspired. I had an inspiration to pray. Because I wasn't all worked up and got all these scriptures together and you know, what I'm going to do and how I'm going to pray. And, you know, I wasn't prepared. And so I got inspired to pray. And so I prayed. So when I stopped praying, I was amazed that I had a good prayer. Because the Holy Spirit took over. And so she could die, you know, somebody that's close to me. And so we just said amen, and we left, and they thanked me after, and I said, yeah, thank you for being, I could be part of that. So they called me back, I think the following 24 hours, said, yeah, this operation was completely successful. And then another one happened, just like that. And then another one happened. Like this, I've never seen so many people dying. I had a call from one of our parishioners who used to be in this church, moved to another place, called me as someone else died, a young boy that used to be in our children's ministry here. He's about 30 years old. He died in an overdose of drugs. I think he had, I think he was in jail for a bit and came out and he overdosed. And so, you know, you see these things happen. And so you have a hard time sometimes. Naturally, your mind gives you a hard time with different things, especially that affect you. So this is the hardest thing that you're ever going to have to face in life is learn to cast your care on God. So you have to do this for your own self, plus you have to do it for the people that you're praying for. So, don't be disturbed, Jesus said, about natural things, about Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God. Everybody say the peace of God. So this is what we want when we're anxious. We want the peace of God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I was just listening to Blake Hagin. He is giving his testimony I'm friends with Craig, and he gave his son's testimony. You know, Craig, this boy, Blake, he grew up in church all his life. His dad is the great Kenneth E. Hagin. That's his great-grandfather. And his dad's Kenneth Hagin. And his dad, his grandfather's Kenneth Hagin, and his dad is Craig. So Craig put this up. And, he fell away. You know, you could be in church and lose faith. Just because your mom and dad have faith and you went to, just because you came to church doesn't mean your faith is automatically given to you. He said, he's 19, 20 years old now. He said, you know what? All my life I was riding on my dad's faith, my grandfather's faith. I didn't have a relationship with Jesus either. Now he's living in the Mecca of what we call Tulsa, Jerusalem. He lived this every day. He said, I had to find my own faith. And I used to say, Brother Hagin, you know, it doesn't come on you just because you're up to church. You can come to this church every day and hear me preach and hear other people preach and be at good meetings and still not have your life changed. Because you have to take this word and use it and become a part of your life and come to Jesus and receive him as your Lord and Savior and say, Lord, I'm going to follow your word for the rest of my life. Let's go ahead and pray. This is 8:05. I got lots of more to say here. We could share more and more, but we'll go ahead and obey the clock. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Take no anxious thought. Your mind is your mind. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all stand in the presence of God. Lord, I want to thank you for your word. We're going to act like it's so. We're going to act like the Bible is true. We're going to act like God is our Father, that he cares everything about us, that we're his children, that we're his family, that he cares for everything about us. There's nothing in your life that God doesn't know about. He knows every care and everything that affects your life, every worry, every concern. God knows everything about you. He made you. He knows about you. He knows what you're capable of doing or not doing. And so, Father, we humbly come to you knowing that you are God Almighty. You're creator of heaven and earth. And so we yield our hearts to you. We yield our spirits. And we present our mind to you. We present our body to you. And we take authority over our thoughts. That we'll meditate on your word. We'll meditate and think about and ponder and talk about to ourselves what your word says concerning the area that we're concerned about. And we present these thoughts to you. And when we're talking to you after the service, when we're ourselves, we say, Lord, you know, this has been bothering me for a long time. And I want to give it to you. I want to present it to you. I want you to take care of it because I can't carry this. And I know you'll take care of it. And so my job is to think about, it's like you said in your word, Isaiah 26:3, that our mind should be placed, our thoughts be placed in you, and we'll have perfect peace. Thank you, Lord. all the cares, all the worries, we put it to you right now. We give you our care right now, all our worries, all concerns. And so, Father, we take hold of our minds. We say, our mind is our mind. Everybody say, my mind is my mind. I can think what I want to think. I think on God's thoughts. I talk about what God says. I reject every evil thought. I take control of my mind. I watch what I think, because what I think eventually gets imprinted in my spirit. So I reject every evil thought, every destructive thought, every weak thought, every scary thought, every failing thought. In the name of Jesus, I will not be afraid. I will live by faith. That means I'm going to walk like the word is true. I'm going to act like the word is true. I'm going to rejoice when there's no hope, seemingly. I'm going to thank God when it doesn't seem like I should be thanking God, because I'm acting on the word. I'm saying the word is working for me right now. The word is working in my life right now. Glory to God. Amen. Come on. Glory to God. Come on. Just go ahead and praise Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. And that's what God told Joshua. Meditate on my word. Because you know, you're self-talking all the time. You're always meditating all the time. Anyway, everyone, we're always meditating. We're always thinking about different things. And we're talking to ourselves. How many people know when you gripe, you know what griping means? When you're complaining, when you're saying negative things about, oh, this never works for me. Ah, that's never, you know, God, why does it have to happen to me? That's